For a while, they just sat there, getting their breath back. They hadn't turned the light on, so the room was dim. The only light came from beneath the blind over the window.
"Those posters," Lina said after a while.
"Yes, everyone will see them."
"What will they do to us if they catch us?"
"I don't know. Something to keep us from telling what we know. Put us in the prison room, maybe."
Lina ran her finger along the B carved in the desktop. It felt like a very long time since she'd last sat at this desk.
"We can't hide in here forever," she said.
"No," said Dune. "Just until it's time for the singing. Then, when everyone is gathered in Harkin Square, we'll go and tell about the boats and the mayor. Won't we? I haven't really thought about it. I haven't had a chance to think at all this morning."
"But the guards are always there at the singing, standing next to the mayor," said Lina. "They'd grab us as soon as we opened our mouths."
Dune's eyebrows came together in a dark line.
"You're right. So what will we do?"
It was like finding yourself on a dead-end street, Lina thought. There was no way out. She stared blankly at the things that had once been her daily companions. The teacher's desk, the stacks of paper, the book of the City of Ember on its special shelf. The old words ran through her head. "There is no place but Ember. Ember is the only light in the dark world." She knew now that this wasn't true. There was someplace else. The place where the boats would take them. As if Dune had read her thoughts, he looked up.
"We could go."
"Go where?"
she said, though she knew right away what he meant.
"Wherever the river leads," he said.
He gestured to the pillowcase sack.
"I packed up my bag this morning. I'm all ready. I'm sure I have enough for you, too."
Lina felt her heart shrink a little.
"Go by ourselves?" she said. "Without telling anyone?"
"We will tell them."
Dune was on his feet now. He went to the cabinet and got a sheet of paper.
"We'll write a note explaining everything. A note to someone we trust. Someone who'll believe us."
"But I can't just leave," said Lina. "How could I leave Poppy and not even say goodbye to her? Not know where I'm going or if I'm ever coming back. How could you go without saying goodbye to your father?"
"Because," said Dune, "once they find the boats, the rest of Ember will follow us. It's not as if we're leaving them forever."
He strode across the room and rummaged in Miss Thorne's desk.
"Who shall we write the message to?"
Lina wasn't sure about this idea, but she couldn't, at the moment, think of a better one. So she said,
"We could write it to Clary. She's seen the instructions. She'll believe what we say. And she lives close by, just up in Torrick Square."
"Okay," said Dune.
He pulled a pencil from the desk drawer.
"Really," he said, "this is a perfect idea. We could get away from the guards and leave our message behind us. And we can be the first ones to arrive in the new city. We should be the first because we discovered the way."
"Well, that's true."
Lina thought for a minute.
"How long do you think it will take before the rest of them find the boats and come? It's a lot of people to get organized."
She numbered on her fingers the things that would have to happen.
"Clary will have to get the head of the pipeworks to go down with her and find the boats. Then she'll have to make the announcement to the city. Then everyone in Ember will have to pack up their things, troop down to the river, get all those boats out of that big room, and load themselves in. It could be a big mess, Dune. Poppy will need me."
She pictured frenzied crowds of people, and Poppy tiny and lost among them.
"Poppy has Mrs. Murdo," said Dune. "She'll be fine, really. Mrs. Murdo is very organized."
It was true. The thought of taking Poppy with her on the river, which had darted into Lina's mind, darted out again.
"I'm only being selfish," she thought, "to want to have her with me. It's too dangerous to take her. Mrs. Murdo will bring her in a day or two."
This seemed the most sensible plan, though it made her so sad that it cast a shadow over the thrill of going to the new city.
"What if something goes wrong?"
she said.
"Nothing will go wrong. It's a good plan, Lina. We'll be there ahead of everyone else. We can welcome them when they come. We could show them around." Dune was bursting with eagerness. His eyes shone and he jiggled up and down.
Well, all right, Lina said. Let's write our message then.
Dune wrote for a long time. When he was finished, he showed what he'd written to Lina. He'd explained how to find the rock with the E, how to go down to the boat room, even how to use the candles.
It's good, she said. Now we have to deliver it.
She paused a moment to see if she had any courage inside her. She found that she did, along with sadness and fear and excitement.
I'll deliver it, she said. I'm the messenger, after all. I know back ways to go, where no one will see me.
An idea struck her.
Dune, maybe Clary will be home. Maybe she would keep us safe and help us tell what we know, and we won't have to leave right now.
Dune quickly shook his head.
I doubt it, he said. She's probably with her singing group getting ready. You'll just have to leave the note under her door.
Lina could tell from his tone of voice that Dune didn't really want Clary to be home. She supposed he had his heart set on their going down the river by themselves. Dune glanced up at the clock on the schoolroom wall.
It's a little after 2, he said. The singing begins at 3. After that, everyone will be in Harkin Square and the streets will be empty. I think we can get to the pipeworks safely then. Why don't we leave about 3:15?
You still have the key?
Dune nodded.
So after I've delivered the note to Clary, I'll come back here, said Lina.
Yes, and then we'll wait until 3:15 and then we'll go.
Lina got up from the cramped desk and went to the window. She moved the blind a little and peered out. There was no one in the street. The dusty schoolroom was very quiet. She thought about Dune's father, who would be frantic when he saw his son's name on those posters, and then realized later that Dune had disappeared. She thought about Mrs. Murdo, who might already have seen the posters, and who would be frightened if guards came looking for Lina, and terrified if Lina didn't come home by nightfall. She tried not to think about Poppy at all. She couldn't bear it.
Give me the note, she said to Dune at last.
She folded the piece of paper carefully and put it in the pocket of her pants.
Back soon,
she said, and went out of the room and down the hall to the rear door of the school. Dune went to the window to watch her go. He moved the blind aside just enough to see out into Pibb Street. There she was, running in that long-legged way with her hair flying. She started across Stone Grit Lane. Just before she reached the other side, Dune's breath stopped in his throat. 2 guards rounded the corner from Knack Street, directly ahead of her. One of them was the chief guard. He leapt forward and shouted so loudly, Dune could hear him plainly through the glass.
That's her! Get her!
Lina reversed her direction in an instant. She raced back down Pibb Street, turned down School Street toward Bilbalio Square, and vanished from Dune's sight. The guards ran after her, shouting. Dune watched, sick with horror.
She's much faster than they are, he told himself. She'll lose them. She knows places to hide.
He stood frozen next to the window, hardly breathing.
They won't catch her, he thought. I'm sure they won't catch her.